Praise the Lord. Come as we are. Come as we are before our Lord God. You know, our God is so amazing. Is that okay? Okay, I was just checking. I mean, we don't even accept people as they are. We don't. We're not happy with where people are, and so we go, you know what, things got to change, and so, you know, and all these things got to take place, and we kind of say, oh, these are the mold that you got to fit in, but Christ accepts us where we are. Are we so quick to kind of get them to looking like something before we accept them for who they are? Now, I'm thankful that God accepts me who I am, but I'm glad He doesn't leave me there. He doesn't leave me there. Now, for some of you that might know me from ages ago, can you imagine if God left me there? I was a little kid, and you know, I had some good shenanigans around this church. There was a time of fun. Still is, but in a different way. But man, can you imagine? You guys, if I remained what I was at 16 with my mom and dad, I mean, what would you think? Would they be happy that I, you know, grew up? Or would they like me to stay at 16? Now, I know we like the kids to stay at like 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. Yeah, we love that. But to have them stay, you know, we've got to grow, right? We've got to expand. We've got to be transformed. We get nervous by this word idea, concept of transform. But really, transformation is you know how it is with a butterfly. You know, at first you look and you're like, but you know what's coming. You know there's a transformation, and that's the joy. Maybe you're feeling like the caterpillar right now, and you're just kind of like, my life, this and that. But you know what, my friends? In Christ, there's going to be a blossoming. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm glad that process is not done on me, and I pray it's not done on you. Because God never stops working on our behalf. And I pray for myself, and I pray for you, that we never stop letting Jesus in our hearts. Let's pray together as we ask the Lord to be with us. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we open up our hearts to You this morning, as we say, Father, as we have been journeying with You in prayer and in worship, and opening up our hearts and sharing with little ones with stories and gifts and all kinds of things this morning, Father, that, Lord, we realize that our faithfulness in coming to You in worship is not just what we get out of it, Father, it's what we put into it. It's what we give, Father. You are so there, pouring out Your blessings, pouring out Your heart to us. You have given up so much. And Father, here I am. I don't have what You have to give, but what I do have is a choice to say, Lord, I give You my heart. So, Lord, here I am. Here You go. Help me to see and to walk with You as You do the miracles that will change my heart forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The disciples wanted the same kind of experience. They wanted their hearts to be changed. They wanted everything to be anew and afresh because things were kind of bad. And it wasn't going the way they'd hoped. There was a lot of persecution, a lot of things and regulations and all this stuff and red tape. And they just got, you know, enough's enough. Jesus comes on the scene and starts changing things upside down. But He says, you know what, I don't want you to get so caught up in all the details of this, and you know, making sure you only walk so many steps, you have food set up at certain places. You know what I want you to understand is something so much more important, so much more impact in your life, and that is something called character. No, it is not a recipe, it is not a souffle or something like that. It is the character of God that is reflected in the things that we hold dear to our hearts. Did I lose you already this morning? So the question then comes to, what do we hold so dear in our hearts? Is it all the motions of different things, or is it the character of God? When God looks out to His greatest love, He's not looking for lip service. He's not looking for, having your name on a roster. What He's looking for is your willingness to put your heart in His hands. Can we do that this morning? Anybody willing to put their heart in Jesus' hands this morning? I'm raising my hand too. Because it's in Christ in us is the hope of glory. Amen? This morning's title has changed a little bit this morning because God is progressive and He shared some new things that were happening. And so we changed the sermon a little bit this week because of the wonderful dedication of a baptism here this morning, but also because God shares with us and renews in us sometimes that there's just a little different message we need to share. And so as we open up our hearts and our minds, may God teach us. Let's open up to John chapter 13 this morning. John chapter 13. Now we know the story in John chapter 13 a little bit where, we have the foot washing, we have Him there sharing with the disciples, helping them to open up their minds to... And He'd been teaching them for some time, but opening up their minds, hey, there's something about to happen. There's things that are going to take place, but don't you worry. I understand you want to worry because you don't want to lose me, Jesus, but yet I don't want you to worry because something great will happen in its place as well. And yet, even in that, what do? They talk about all kinds of other things. We're going to look at this. But as Jesus shares His heart to go, hey, I want you guys to get one thing. Yes, things are my time, my ministry of here on earth is transforming in that I will be going to meet with my Father. But I don't want you guys to lose heart of always continuing to allow me to transform in your heart. I'm going to giving you a sneak peek, but I want to give you a comforter, a person that's going to help you and guide you and work that transformation. And He will bring you closer and closer to me and my Father than you ever have been before. And yet, where's their heads? Have you ever had God kind of talk to you and share to you, but yet, or better yet, let's bring it home. Mom or dad or a cousin or an uncle or a co-worker try to share with you, and you have no clue what they're talking about. You are listening, and they're talking about maybe a job, a situation, and you're trying to ask questions, but yet you're like, did they hear anything I just said? Because that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I know I've had conversations sometimes where we're chit-chatting and it's like, what? How did you get that conclusion? Have you ever felt that way? Anyone? I know I've had those family conversations, especially when we have all our gatherings together. And sometimes we're all lost to know what's going on. So Jesus is saying some beautiful things here. John chapter, what chapter again? Thank you. I'm getting older. The gray hair is starting to creep up on me. I forget the chapter sometimes. John chapter 13, verse 31. So when He had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself and glorify Him immediately. Verse 33, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, verse 34, what does He say there? A new commandment I give to you. Was it really new? But there was something new about it. We'll talk about that. But anew, He says, and the new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. Verse 35, but this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Why would He be sharing so much on love? I mean, we get it. But why so much here? Because see, at this time, they weren't really loving one another. There was more about, do they fit this mold, that mold? There was all kinds of other things going on. Even the disciples were having their own issues with one another. And He's like, if you would just love each other the way I love you. Can you imagine this world if we all loved each other like Christ loves us? Okay, no one's got excited about that at all. I mean, wow. I don't even know what to make if we all loved each other like Christ loves us. I mean, everything would be flipped upside down. And yet, as much as that kind of makes me nervous because, the world's going really crazy ways, I'd be pretty excited. I'd be nervous because who likes change, right? We, even with good change, we get nervous. It's kind of in us, it's human, but yet the change would be good. It would be exciting. I wouldn't know all of what it would do, but the change I know would be for the benefit of mankind. But yet the change that God tries to work in our lives, are we open to it? Are we excited about it? Or are we reluctant? When the Holy Spirit is touching on our hearts, are we excited about what He's sharing with us? Are we open to what He's willing to do? Or are we kind of going, well, wait a minute. You know, let's talk about this. So the disciples come on as Jesus is sharing with them to love one another. And let's read through it here a little bit as we understand the context of this. And so Peter, how does he respond to what Jesus is sharing to them? And we come into chapter 14. Verse 36, getting ahead of myself. In verse 36, Peter shares the response. He says, so Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Now, what did Jesus just share with them a few minutes ago? This is a new commandment I give to you to what? He's saying to love one another. Now, imagine if I asked you that I need you to go get groceries let's say my wife asked me, hey, I need you to go get some materials and things at the store. And I go, so what's going on this weekend? Now, she just asked me to go to the store to pick up some things, and I'm asking her, what's going on this weekend? Does that correlate? That has any connection? It's like saying, okay, what's on television later or something? What? What is she going to do? Most typically, that when a husband of anybody generally kind of says something that makes no sense, she says, are you listening to me? Now, my wife, she's awesome, and she doesn't do that. But you know, that's what we would do, right? Are you... I'll write it down. And then she knows there's only a 50-50 chance that I actually fulfill it, because if I actually look at the list. So here the disciples aren't doing they're doing the very same thing. Jesus is saying, love one another, and what is he asking? What was it? Where are you going? What? Why are you asking a question about destination when I'm talking about loving one another? So even one of the disciples that have been with Jesus, have walked with Jesus, have been in great ministry with each other, and he's asking a question that has just outer space question. Where are you going? What are you talking about? Why are you worried about the destination when I'm talking about something about character right here, right now, that is of value? But Peter wasn't the only one, was he? As he goes in and he reflects, and Jesus shares with him once again, and Jesus answered him in verse 38, it says, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you're denied me three times. And he brings out something of his own character, that thinking, you think you have a solid foundation. You think you've got it all together, but you've got nothing without, you guys know the answer, without who? So when we think we can stand on our own two feet, we're in the promised land, right? Because if I can take care of it all by myself, I don't need anybody else, right? I don't need Jesus. I got it all handled. But when we start going down that road, we get into dangerous ground, don't we? Satan had this happen to him when he thought that he could figure out a better plan than Jesus could come up with. And yet the disciples and even us can fall into that same trap. When we start thinking, you know what, I got this. And so the disciples, though it was a good question, but not a question relevant to what they were talking about. It was like he was missing the whole boat. Let's look into chapter 14, verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are how many? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He goes to prepare a place for who? Each one of us, amen? I'm looking forward to that mansion. And it says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Does this sound like a distant God, a God who doesn't care about you? God doesn't want you to be a part of his plans to keep you informed? Sounds like a God who wants to be right there with you every step of the way, amen? So I go in verse 3, and I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. What does he say there? And where I go, you what? And the way you know. So he's like, you know, answering Peter in a way, you already know where I'm going. I've been telling you. So why are you asking the question? Where's the destination? Where am I going? When you already know the answer of that. You know, when we think about Jesus and he's going back to his Father, he's also, the only way to get back to his Father was the way through the cross. That second death on the cross to connect with his Father. And it is us accepting the gift of that second death on the cross. Can you imagine the weight? He didn't just lose his life. He carried the whole weight of sin on his shoulders, on him. And to go through that for you and I, so that we wouldn't have to do it. It's okay to say amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Those are okay too? Hallelujah. That he was willing to do that. All so that we could love the Lord with all our heart. And because of that decision and that choice to love Jesus with all our heart, we could be drawn to that interpersonal relationship that he wants us to have. Yes, God loves us. But it is not just God with us. It is God in us. Have you ever had to try to have a long-distant relationship? And we do our best with them, whether by family or whatever. But there's stuff that gets missed when you have a long-distance relationship. Have you ever experienced that, felt that? It's just not the same. And so what we do is long-distance relationships aren't across the United States anymore. Because, let's see, who can I text here this morning? But I'm teasing. But let's say I was texting with somebody this morning here. Is it the same? Maybe I should just, you know what, we'll do next week. We'll all have the sermon and I'll just text it to you. And we'll do it. I'll sit right here and I'll just be like, and I'll do even the facial expressions just for fun. What do you guys think? Would you be okay with that? Why? But I'm texting you. I'm putting it all in. I mean, you can actually go, the pastor said this. No? There's something about being together. And then that's the difference when we think of God with us. God with us, hey, it's awesome. And God was with the disciples, but he's saying, I'm going to take you to a new level. God in you. Do you catch the difference there? God with us, it's as if, you know, yeah, God, you're with us, but, you know, it's like you're there during the waking hours, but when you're asleep and I'm asleep, we're not there together. It's different. It's not the same. Just like texting, yes, we're communicating, but it's just not the same. But when we're there with each other. And so we know that Jesus couldn't be literally in us, but he had given us who? And as we'll read about this, he gave us the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can be in us 24/7. And the job of this Holy Spirit is to pull us together as a family in the love of Jesus Christ, to reveal to us the truths and understandings so we can come into the full picture of what it means to have Jesus in our hearts. Amen? I'm thankful he does that work and he doesn't put that on me to do. Because I'd be sorry for all of you if he tried to put that on me to do that for you. Because only the Holy Spirit knows you and can share with you exactly what you need to hear, even at this very moment. I can't do that. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. So here Thomas comes on, and then he asks a question. And what does Thomas ask as he comes to this? He says there, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the what? So here we have Peter asking the question of destination, and then we have Thomas. He's asking, how do we know the way? In essence, he's asking a logistic question. You know, you ever had a trip you have to go on and you go, okay, but which way are we going to go? Did we pack everything? Are we going to have all the resources? When we get there, are they going to be able to take care of everything? Where do we park the car? Kind of like that. You know, in essence, we're saying, hey, we want to get to Santa Barbara, let's say. And yet, okay, we're going to Santa Barbara, but then we're asking about all the logistics. Now, remember the context. The context is God's talking about that we need to love one another. We need to come together and understanding what that means in Christ in us. But yet, at the same time, they're asking destination questions and logistic questions. It's like, what are you doing? You ever been involved in a meeting where everybody's asking every other question, but we're not dealing with the main issue? We're all over the place, but we're not dealing with the main issue. So Thomas, even a disciple of God, is asking the same thing. How do we go about walking with you, Jesus? But he's like, well, wait a minute here. Let's not miss the main point. And so Jesus continues, and he wants to share with them that, yes, he will leave, but yet at the same time, he leaves with a great gift that will draw them closer than ever they had been before. And so let's look into verse 7 as we continue on here. It says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. And then Philip said to him, Lord, what does he say? Show us the Father. So again, we have Peter, destination, we have Thomas with logistics, and then we have here with Philip, what's he asking? Show us the Father. And it is sufficient for us. In essence, what he's basically kind of putting on this scene is when you want to know, man, if you're as good as you say you are, then what do you typically say? You know, let's say back when I was in school, in elementary school and stuff, when someone says, oh man, I can play soccer better than anybody. Well, I say, typically what I experienced, when we didn't say, oh great, what did we say? Show me. Let's see what you got, buddy. If you're all that, let's get it on the court. And we played a lot of basketball too, and I said, let's get it on the court. No words, let's just get it on the court. And in essence, what he's saying is, okay, you know what? Give us a miracle. Show us a miracle right now, and it'll be sufficient. Now think about that. He's not just being like, okay, show us the Father, because we know that he's saying, you know what? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But he's saying, show us the Father, and then we'll be good to go. A disciple of Jesus saying, hey, give me a miracle, and then we'll believe. Totally out of touch. They're not getting it. What was their subject? What were they talking about? Love one another, as I have loved you. And yet they're still missing it. So here Philip interrupts with this mission experience. Let me have an experience with you, Father, and then I can then get in connection with you. Do we do the same thing sometimes in church where, again, we kind of say, you know what, we need you to share with us an experience so that I can be in tune with you. We put the experience before the truth, where it's like, well, you know what, why don't we just do this the easy way? Because, you know, the other way is I actually got to spend time reading my Bible, and I have to spend time praying, and then I have to spend time, like, actually sharing that with others. And I know I'm making fun of that. And I'm not making fun of the Bible. I'm not making fun of prayer. And I'm not making fun of sharing it with others. But I am being real about how sometimes some of us feel. Because even in my life at one point, I felt like that. I was human. I am human. And it's like, you know, you read certain books or certain things, you don't get it, and you're just like, man, I just got other things I need to do. But wow. The difference between Christ with us and Christ in us. And when you have Christ in us, everything gets reshaped in how you see things. And so here, when we look to the Word of God, it leads us to have a love for Jesus Christ. It leads us to a place where we want to have communication with the Father, pleading out to Him, as we've seen many prayers throughout the Bible. We share those prayers to Him because it is our two-way communication with each other. And I come alongside each other, not because I have it all together, not because I have everything memorized, but because of the love of Jesus. And guess what? Because of the love of Jesus in me, God has given me something, a gift, that I can share with others. Even if I have a lot of quirks and I don't get A's on my exams, I don't ace all my Bible knowledge tests or all my quizzes in the morning with memorizing Bible verses, but what I do have, even if I work on those, I won't give up. I can keep faithful for Jesus, but I got something to share, and that's the love of God. Luke 19 tells us that, you know what, in times of trouble, it's okay. You have a testimony. That doesn't mean you, if you can't whip out a Bible study right then and there, it doesn't mean you've got nothing. It means you got a testimony. Testimonies are powerful. You know why? Because you can't argue against a testimony. How can you argue against somebody's personal experience or personal encounter with Jesus Christ as they have come to know it through the Word of God? How can you argue that? You don't have to agree, but you can't argue it. So there's power in the testimony. And so here, in essence, we kind of connect with what is happening with Philip, because we often say, it's too much work to have a relationship, so just give me the quick and easy. I want to have in common, I just want to have, oh Lord, wow. And then, okay, I'm good. Good for the week. I never got to open my Bible, never got to have any prayer time. And man, when I'm driving, I'm just this. And if I go to the grocery store, it's even smaller, because I really don't want to interact with that person next to me. Did you smell them? The only way that changes, that narrowness of view, is when Christ is more than with us, but Christ is in us. You can't change that. Christ can. So let Christ come in you, the hope of glory. Because when Christ is in us, He reshapes all that. For most of you, you probably don't know, but you know the difference between an introvert and an extrovert? Anybody? Introvert, extrovert. You ever heard those terms? See, I see a few shy people like, don't point me out, please. Okay, introvert, basic concept, I feel better in a closet. Simplifying it, okay? Forgive me for those that are scholars or in counseling and stuff. I know there's a greater definition of that. But in essence, they like to kind of be by themselves or with certain people that are just, not around a lot of people. Extrovert, hey, man, let's have a party. Let's get together. I love it. Woo! And not to say introverts don't like to be around people or have parties, but in essence, just two extremes. So forgive the analogy. It's not 100%. But the idea, they're more like rejuvenated by themselves. Hey, I read a book or something like that by myself. Extrovert, hey, man, let's go visit this person, that person. The introvert would be, you'll feel tired. They'd be like, okay, I need a little breather for a little while. The extrovert would be like, let's keep going. But yet, the extreme between the two is God can still use them. God can still bless them. And yet they both have something to bring to the table. But just because one doesn't fit into a mold that we think they should doesn't mean there's no value. And so Christ uses both of us. And for some of you that don't know, I have more of an introvert tendency. My personality is more introverted. And so that doesn't mean I don't like any of you. I love you guys. But when Christ said, you know what, I want you to be a pastor, I'll be honest, I said, no. I'm not the right fit. How can a person with have more introverted and such like this, how could they do that kind of work? And then I had a friend of mine who was a pastor, and he's more introverted than I was. And he says, you know what, it doesn't matter about personalities. It matters about being willing to be used by God. And God will put you where you need to be. Even if it's the place that you think you shouldn't be, trust Jesus. Don't trust yourself. Trust God. And wow, that reshaped my whole thinking. And I said, well, okay, Lord, obviously I think you put that man in my life to share with me that point because I needed to hear it so that I could take the next step. And from that, you guys have heard some of the history of what God can do when we're willing to trust. And so I praise the Lord for Him working in my life and for me trusting. So the context of what we're looking at again is, where Jesus is, there's this aspect of His departure coming up, but He's trying to teach my Father and I are one. Okay? Jesus is trying to get this concept to them that not only my Father and I are one, but we will be one. And I will give you a comforter, I will give you a guide to help you to become one with each other and with me. And yet, as again, I want to read you a little statement found in Patriarchs or Prophets and Kings. It says, transformation of character, as we read in Galatians 5:22, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And one of the very first things it mentions is the gift of love. And the rest, really, in some ways, maybe we could say, are shades of that love. We try to think of them as all separate, but you know what? Really, the one is love, and the rest are shades of it. But it says the transformation of character is the testimony to the world of an indwelling Christ. Indwelling in whom? Us, right? The Spirit of God produces a new life in the soul, bridging the thoughts and the desires into obedience to the will of Christ, and the inward man is renewed in the image of God. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? Transformation of character is the testimony to the world of the indwelling in Christ. I love that. You know, again, we sometimes want the shortcuts, but you know what? I want the love of Jesus in my heart. And I choose to invite God into my life and into my heart. I choose to say, Lord God, transform in me that character, that desire to love, that desire to be one just like you and your Father are one. There was a man that was called to serve his country. He wasn't sure about it because he knew that it could cost a lot to serve his country. He had wonderful things going on here, but he knew that, man, I've got to be there for my brothers. And so he went off to the Vietnam War. And as he was off doing many different things, challenging him in different ways, he was caught in a skirmish where it wasn't going well for them. But luckily they were, the radio, the guy with the radio and such, he was still there, and he said, hey, we've got to get out of here. What we're trying to do is not going to work. We've got to get out. And so they radio for help, not sure if it actually had gone through or not. But they were just praying, hoping that it worked. But after a little bit, they're still working and they're still going through many challenges. They hear that sound. Now, if I had somebody with good sound effects, they'd make that sound for you. But, you know, they heard that sound. And whatever that sound is for you, you know, but you know, it's like there is hope on the way. When you have hope, no matter what your situation, it changes your perspective on the situation. Do you think they got more depressed at that moment hearing that sound coming towards them? Or do you think they were saying, oh, bummer? They were tired, they were fatigued, they were scared, they were nervous, they had all these things, but yet hearing that, they had hope. So they got close to them enough to throw down the rope. And one gentleman went up, the other one started to make his way up, but the medic's looking down at him and notices that he starts to fall back, dropping one rifle and his radio that he had in the other hand. But it just so happened as he starts to fall back, his leg gets kind of caught up into the rope. The medic dives down and grabs hold of the guy's leg. And at the same time, they're taking so much fire, enemy fire, that the helicopter, we got to go. So the man has no time to try to pull this man in. He just hangs on. And like a trapeze show, they're sit there dangling as the helicopter starts pulling up, but not trying to get too high, but trying to pull up and pull away so that they can get them to safety. The helicopter does make its way to the area where they had medics, and so they land the helicopter and, of course, well, start to land, get the man off the rope and such and get everything. And the man goes into the hospital. And he gets, you know, they fix him up. He goes back and to live life. Things went well, successful, all these wonderful things. He was just so honored to think, man, all this took place because someone was willing to risk their own life for me. 30 years went by. And they were doing a special on, somebody had found out about this, and they were doing a special on trying to share about this whole incident and what was happening. And they asked the man, he says, would you be excited to actually, he never met the man for 30 years. He says, would you want to meet the man that came and saved you? He says, oh, I've been wanting to know and meet him since the moment I woke up. Because all he remembers was getting on that rope, and that's the last thing he remembers. But he heard the stories, but he never met the man. So the lady, as they're doing this television program, she calls out the gentleman and says, here's your rescuer. The man was sitting there and immediately he starts sobbing. He jumps up from his seat, goes over to the man and just hugs him. And you know, the show's pretty much over because, you know, he never stopped embracing the man. They sat and they were crying together, holding each other. And you know, what was significant in that program too was that man that had saved the gentleman on that rope. For the first time, he got honored for saving his life. He never got honored by or got any special recognition for what he had done for this man. And so they had some military officials come out and to share with them a medal for what he had done. But I imagine for us, when we read the words of Colossians 1, 26 and 27, it says, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, from now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is our rescuer. We were on that rope, maybe we still are, and Jesus is holding on. And maybe a few years has passed even since you realized that. But how excited are we to meet the one who saved us? How joyful are we for the one who has given all so that we could have life? Are you joyful in your heart? I know I am. We share it many different ways and we open up our hearts many different ways, but how do we respond to one who gave up so much so that I could have a glimpse of hope, so that I could be grateful? How do we say thank you, Jesus? We had a witness today of one lady's example of how she said thank you to Jesus by giving her life to Christ in baptism. It's part of accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and it's taking the steps to continue that cycle and of making that public declaration to give our whole heart to Jesus. What are we waiting for? What's holding you back? Is it the rope? Is it the fire that's going on around you? Don't let the things of this world, don't let the flesh and the limitations in our heart hold you back from taking hold of your rescuer. I know there's been days where things are so tough and bleak and this and that and we struggle. But my friends, it's okay. Take hold of the one who can rescue you from it. And it doesn't mean everything will be fixed and all your finances will be millions of dollars that will be in your bank right after the prayer you get done. But you know what? That's insignificant because that will not amount to anything. But what will amount to eternal life is the billions and billions of dollars that is in the gift of Jesus Christ. If you could even put, which you can't, put a money to the gift of Jesus Christ. Taking hold of your rescuer. I don't know where you have been or where you are today, but I invite you to take hold of him afresh. And we're going to sing our closing song. And as they prepare to sing their closing song, I'm going to invite you, if anyone would like to take hold of their rescuer today, to say, God, I don't want you to be God with me. I want you to be Christ in me. I'm going to invite you to stand and join me in a garden of prayer as we pray for God to begin and to start and to transform our hearts. So they're going to sing, and at the close of that song, we'll invite you to join us up here to listen to the Holy Spirit as we open up our hearts.
Closing hymn number 618.